Thank you, Isaac. Thank you, music team. Thank you for being here. And Lord, thank you most of all. What a blessing to be together. I want to start out with a question this morning, a little opportunity to test your Bible knowledge. So I'll give you a little clue. It is Bible character, the answer to these questions. Who is he? I'm going to give you 8 clues, all right? His birth was miraculous. His birth was announced to his parents by an angel. He came to deliver his people. He sought a bride among the Gentiles. He had great power that was hidden. He was betrayed for silver by someone very close to him. He willingly gave his life. And the Holy Spirit was an active participant in his life. So you don't need to give the answer out loud, but you can think in your mind, who is he? Now, if you said the Lord Jesus Christ, you would be absolutely correct. Now, maybe you did that because you think that in when you come to a meeting, you know, that, I mean, give that the answer to anything, and, you know, good chances you'll be right. Say Jesus is the answer. But if you said the Lord Jesus Christ to that, you would be absolutely correct. But there's another correct answer as well. If you said Samson, you would also be absolutely correct. The Lord Jesus himself, and this verse was brought out in the Lord's Supper this morning, a brother read it from Luke 24:27. The Lord Jesus, beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded to two people who were he was walking with in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. And we've seen that this is true even as we go to the book of Judges. The book of Judges, we might call it a dysfunctional book in the Old Testament. The nation of Israel was definitely dysfunctional at this time. The Bible says that everyone did what was right in his own eyes. And in her own eyes, I'm sure, is an application of that principle as well. And we've been seeking to see Jesus in Judges this summer. And I know summer technically is over, but still 90 degrees outside, so we can do one more summer series message on seeing Jesus in Judges. And that is the desire of my heart in these messages, that you would see the Lord Jesus, even in a time in Israel's national history, when we see this cycle over and over throughout the book of Judges. As Israel forsakes God time after time, God in his grace and mercy and justice judges Israel. They suffer, they cry out to God eventually, whether it be a few years or many years, and we find God again providing deliverance time after time. Israel enjoying freedom, but in that freedom, we find that ultimately they forsake God again. And at a time even like that, we see the Lord Jesus. And this morning, we're going to see the Lord Jesus in Judges chapter 13 through chapter 16. If you'd like to turn to Judges 13, that would be a wonderful place for us to start this morning. We see the Lord Jesus in Judges. We know that we find him in the Bible as a prophet. We see him as a priest, and we also gaze on him as a king. But we know that the Lord Jesus is also a judge, just as these judges during this time in Israel's history were. He comes to deliver, as these judges often did, as well as to judge and make decisions for the people. We're going to think about Samson. He's the most popular, the most well-known of all the judges. I'm sure that everyone here has at least heard of Samson. Even in our secular society, if you mention Samson, people would have some concept of this man who was had an amazing strength. And they at least would know that much of it. Maybe they wouldn't know much more than that, but they would at least know of that. And there's something that we read about Samson that I'd like to really draw our attentions to this morning. It's the fact that the Holy Spirit of God is mentioned four times as working specifically in the life of Samson. Now, if you know the life of Samson, you might think, wow, of all the judges, he would be the last one that I would expect to know that the Holy Spirit of God was working mightily in his life. He was probably the most dysfunctional of all the judges that we find in this book. One time we read concerning Othniel that the Holy Spirit of God moved upon him. One time we read in the life of Gideon, and one time in the life of Jephthah. I'm not saying those are the only times, those one times that the Holy Spirit of God actually came upon them and worked, but that's the one time it's mentioned with Samson. Four times. We're going to look at those four times this morning. And we're going to see four parallels, I hope, between the work of the Holy Spirit in the earthly ministry of Samson and also the earthly ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ, the one that we're desiring to see. And if all you see is Samson this morning, I have failed miserably. I want you to see the Lord Jesus. I want you to gaze on Him. And also, as we sang in the Lord's Supper this morning, we want to look full in His wonderful face, and truly we desire that the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of His glory and grace. Let's start, if we could, at verse 1 of chapter 13, because that's going to show us where we are in this cycle that I showed you on the little chart. Again, the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord. Okay, they were doing what was right in their own eyes. Remember that. But what was it in the eyes of God? It was evil. We can do what we think is right and be very evil in the sight of the Lord. And what happened as a result of that? And the Lord delivered them into the hand of the Philistines for 40 years. 40 long years under the thumb of the Philistine army and of the Philistine rulers, the Philistine people. Into that, we're introduced to a man. Actually, we're introduced to the parents of someone who would eventually be born, and his name would be Samson. Got a little quick map here for you if you like maps. If you don't, it's not going to matter because you're going to be able to get everything we're going to talk about anyway. But if you like geography, you can follow along here. The four things we're going to look at. We're going to be here in between Zorah and Eshtel, where our story begins. And we're going to see that in the very first verse that we'll read once we start unpacking this. And then we're also going to be looking at Timnah. You see the yellow arrow there pointing to the city of Timnah. Thirdly, we're going to be looking at Ashkelon. Ashkelon here on the seacoast there of Philistia. And then finally, we're also going to be looking at Lehi here where the blue arrow is pointing. They're going to be the four areas where these four parallels in the life of Samson are going to take place. And again, we'll be paralleling that with the life of the Lord Jesus. So first of all, we see the Holy Spirit of God working. And we find the Holy Spirit, first of all, initiating their earthly ministries. Here in chapter 13, we're going to skip through everything that we find about how Samson's birth was announced and how his father asked, what should we do? How shall we raise this child? Look down at verse 24 of chapter 13. So the woman bore a son and called his name Samson. And the child grew and the Lord blessed him. And notice verse 25. And the Spirit of the Lord began to move upon him at Mahanadan between Zorah and Eshtaol. So there's Zorah and Eshtaol that we looked at on our map just a while ago. And here at Mahanadan, we find here in what is literally the camp of Dan that God, the Holy Spirit, begins to work, move on the life of this man, Samson. Now, one thing we want to point out is that in the Old Testament, we find the Holy Spirit of God working. In fact, He's in the very first verses of the book of Genesis hovering over the darkness and over the deep. We see him involved in creation. We find him all throughout the Old Testament. We find him revealed to us as one of the three persons of the triune God. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. And as we've said before, though it's hard to understand the triunity of God, it is also hard to deny. If we study the Word of God and see what He says there about God the Holy Spirit, He is God. And we find that He is working all throughout the Old Testament, but in the Old Testament we find Him coming upon people to do the work of God. Coming upon them, even as we read here, that the Spirit of the Lord began to move not just on Him, as I think the King James says, but literally move upon Him. Now as we get to the New Testament, in the book of Acts, in Acts chapter 2, on the day of Pentecost, we find that the Holy Spirit of God, as the Lord Jesus predicted in John chapter 16, would not only come upon individuals, He would actually come in individuals. We live in an amazing time in the history of the world. We live at a time when God is living inside of people. I hope He's living inside of you. And if you have believed on the Lord Jesus as your Savior, the Holy Spirit of God has come to live within you, never to leave you, never to forsake you, to be there. But let me come back, because we're looking at Samson and the Lord Jesus right now, and we find that the Spirit of the Lord began to move upon him. And that word for move is the thought of a compulsion, an urge. He is moving upon Samson and moving upon Samson. He is moving Samson. And we notice here in the wording of this verse that the Spirit of the Lord began to move. Here we have the initiation of the ministry of Samson as a judge in Israel. And we find that it starts, yes, at his conception, yes, at his birth. But in a literal way, we find it beginning here when the Spirit of God begins to work upon him. Well, what about the Lord Jesus? We're wanting to see Jesus in Judges. We're reminded of his conception, first of all. And again, much like Samson had a miraculous birth because his mother was barren, she could not have children. With the Lord Jesus, that was not the situation at all. Not an older woman who had not been able to have children, but rather a young woman who was a virgin, who should not be able to have a child as a virgin. And yet, miraculously, she did. In Luke chapter 1 and verse 35, we read that the angel said to Mary, that virgin, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the highest will overshadow you. Therefore also that Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God." We read in Matthew 1:18, that before Joseph and Mary came together, before she ever had intimate sexual relations with a man, she was found with child of the Holy Spirit. This is no type of sexual relationship between God and a human being. No. This is a miraculous work of the Spirit of God in the womb of Mary. And there the Lord Jesus, God the Son, becomes an embryo. Amazing. The angel told Joseph, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take to you Mary your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit." As Luke continues the narrative of the Lord Jesus, we read in Luke 2 and verse 40 that the child grew and became strong in spirit, filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. Another parallel with the life of Samson, as we see here, we read that Samson grew and the Lord blessed him, and we find that too in the life of the Lord Jesus. But again, the beginning The initiation of his ministry, of course, the Lord Jesus is eternal. He has no beginning. And he has no ending. And yes, he was conceived in the womb of Mary. And yes, he was born into this world. But then there was his baptism. And there we find, in a public way, his initiation into the ministry for which he had come to the earth. He had already lived those years of perfection, sinless, and we'll see that again later. But here we find he is baptized in Matthew 3:16. Here's the way that the Spirit of God led Matthew to write it. When he, the Lord Jesus, had been baptized, Jesus came up immediately from the water, and behold, the heavens were opened to him. And listen to this. He saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting upon him. Alighting upon him. John, he gave this witness. He said, I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and he remained upon him. Now, personally, I don't know whether Jesus Christ is God. Did the Lord Jesus need the Holy Spirit of God? In what sense was the Holy Spirit of God already working in him? In what sense was the Holy Spirit of God already upon him? Possibly that was already true. In one sense, you could say, well, he's God. He doesn't need the Holy Spirit. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. A beautiful triunity. There was a time when that triunity was broken. And we'll get to that in a little while. But the Spirit of God came upon the Son of God to indwell him and to initiate him into this amazing ministry that God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit had determined that he would have upon this earth. The Holy Spirit initiated the earthly ministry of Samson, that he would be a deliverer, that he would be a judge of Israel. He initiated the ministry of the Lord Jesus. And when the Lord Jesus saw the Holy Spirit descending like a dove upon him, he also heard a voice. You see, we have the triunity right there. Here's the Lord Jesus coming up out of the waters of baptism, water from the Jordan running down from his head down his body, the Spirit of God descending upon him, and then a voice from the Father in heaven, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." This is my beloved Son. He came to do the work, the ministry. The Holy Spirit of God initiated the earthly ministries of Samson and in a much greater way, that infinite ministry of the Lord Jesus. Secondly, the Holy Spirit of God guided their earthly ministries. Go to chapter 14 now as we pick up our story in the book of Judges. Now Samson went down to Timnah, there's the second city we saw on our map, and saw a woman in Timnah of the daughters of the Philistines. So he went up and told his father and mother, saying, I have seen a woman in Timnah of the daughters of the Philistines. Now therefore, get her for me as a wife. Then his father and mother said to him, is there no woman among the daughters of your brethren, among all my people, that you must go and get a wife from the uncircumcised Philistines? And Samson said to his father, get her for me, for she pleases me well. We mentioned that Samson looked for a bride among the Gentiles, and I am so thankful that the Son of God is seeking a bride for himself, not only among the Jewish people, but among us non-Jewish people, that we would be part of his bride. Verse 4, but his father and mother did not know something. What did they not know? That it was of the Lord. God is going to do something. He's going to use Samson's own personal desires for this particular woman. Samson had a very poor. He was a very poor judge of character. He was a very much of a man who seemed to be moved by his fleshly desires, and his relationships with women were disasters. But God can use even a disastrous relationship. And this was of the Lord. You see, God was working. God was working. They didn't realize that. You see, the Holy Spirit of God was guiding Samson. He was guiding him. So let's pick up here. That he was seeking an occasion to move against the Philistines. For at that time, the Philistines had dominion over Israel. And so God is going to come in through Samson. And he's going to, by the Holy Spirit, he's going to move Samson. And so verse 5, Samson went down to Timnah with his father and mother and came to the vineyards of Timnah. Now to his surprise, a young lion came roaring against him. And the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon him, and he tore the lion apart as one would have torn apart a young goat, though he had nothing in his hand. Look at the might of this man, that God, by the Holy Spirit, is moving him, guiding him right into the very path of a lion. And we find that the Spirit of the Lord, for the second time, we read the Spirit of the Lord working in the life of Samson, and he comes mightily upon this man's life, and we find that he tears the lion apart like a young goat. He takes that like a man could take a baby goat and pull him apart. He did that with a lion, a power that was beyond his own, but we want to emphasize right here that he was guided in that way. Well, let's go to the life of the Lord Jesus. The life of the Lord Jesus. And I'm reminded of his temptation in the wilderness. In Luke chapter 4, we read these words. Then Jesus, being filled with the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. So there we find in the life of the Lord Jesus, he is filled with the Holy Spirit. He's controlled by the Holy Spirit of God. You know, we're commanded in Ephesians chapter 5 that as believers in the Lord Jesus, if that's you, if you are born again, forgiven of your sins, you've received the Lord Jesus Christ alone as Savior from your sins, it's not of your works. You can't boast about it. No, it's only of Him. If you have received Him, then we're told to be filled with the Spirit of God. The Lord Jesus was filled with the Holy Spirit of God. And we read in that verse that He was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. How many people want to get led by the Spirit in the wilderness? Let me put my hand down here. Not me. I don't want to go into the wilderness. Bad things can happen in the wilderness. As we continue reading in Luke chapter 4, that was verse 1. Verse 2 says this, being tempted for 40 days by the devil. You see, he was guided by the Spirit of God in his ministry. This was a very important aspect of his ministry. This was going to evidence his qualification as one that Satan could not touch. Satan would not have dominion over him. And though Peter writes about the devil in 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 8, that we're to be sober, we're to be vigilant. Why? Because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. And there in the wilderness, the Lord Jesus, I don't believe it was to his surprise. I don't know what he knew about what was coming. But a lion, it wasn't a young lion. No, it was a roaring lion. Came seeking to try to devour the very Son of God who was here for a ministry without which none of us would have any hope in this life or in the life to come. But you know what? Just like Samson tore that lion apart, can I say that the Lord Jesus tore that lion apart? As Satan tried to bring him down three times, turn these stones into bread, Jump down off that pinnacle of the temple and let everybody see that you're a son of God. Bow down before me and I'll give you all the kingdoms of the world. The Lord Jesus tore him apart with the scripture. He responded with the sword of the Spirit, the Word of God, quoting three times from the book of Deuteronomy. It is written. It is written. It is written. He tore that lion apart. The Holy Spirit guided their earthly ministries. Thirdly, the Holy Spirit empowered their earthly ministries. First of all, in Samson, we read in verses 7 through 20 that as he was going to marry this woman from Timnah, he had a big wedding party. And when he killed that lion, you probably know the story, when he came back by, some bees had come in there and inhabited the carcass of that lion, and they made some great honey. I love honey. Hey, some, I don't know if I'd eat it out of a lion or not. I don't know if I love it that much, but he did, and he had a great riddle out of that. And he used that riddle to trick some of the men of Timnah. He said, if you can answer my riddle, then I'll give each of you a change of clothes. And if you can't answer the riddle by the end of the feast, then you give me a change of clothes. And they took it on. He laid the riddle out there for them, and they were stuck. They were stuck. Out of the eater came something to eat, and out of the strong came something sweet. And for 3 days, they couldn't explain the riddle, and finally, they forced Samson's fiance to give the answer to the riddle, or, well, if you don't get through that, then we're going to burn you and your father's house with fire. So she did it. He gave in, gave the answer to the riddle to them. They gave the answer to Samson. Samson was furious. In verse 18, he said, if you had not plowed with my heifer, you would not have solved my riddle. Verse 19, notice that here in Judges 14. Then the Spirit of the Lord came upon him mightily, and he went down to Ashkelon and killed 30 of their men, took their apparel, gave the changes of clothing to those who had explained the riddle. So his anger was aroused, and he went back to his father's house. The Holy Spirit of God came upon him mightily. What is the Holy Spirit of God in the business of trying to help you pay off your bets when you lose? No, that's not the point. The point is God was seeking an occasion against the Philistines who had dominion over his people. He had used them, and now God was delivering his people from the hand of the Philistines. And so he used Samson, and Samson goes down. He had killed one lion, and now he kills 30 men. Takes their clothes and uses that to pay off his debt. What about the Lord Jesus? I think of his ministry activities. You know, Samson, you know, I appreciate the way that God worked in his life, but, you know, we just kind of push that over to the side. We look at the life of the Lord Jesus. I wish we had time to read through all these verses. I'll give you the references, encourage you to look at them later. Isaiah 11, verses 2 through 4, we read prophetically of the Lord Jesus. The Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him. The Spirit of wisdom and understanding. The Spirit of counsel and might. The Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord. And he wasn't going to judge by his eyes, but with righteousness he would judge the poor. In Matthew chapter 12, we read the fulfillment of Isaiah 42. Behold, my servant whom I have chosen, my beloved in whom my soul is well pleased, I will put my spirit upon him, and he will declare justice to the Gentiles. He shows us how to be righteous through him. In Isaiah 61, verses 1 through 3, the Spirit of the Lord, the Messiah says, this is again prophetically of the Lord Jesus, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because the Lord has anointed me. Here are the ministries of the Lord Jesus to preach good tidings to the poor. That's me. I need it. I'm poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted. Thank you, Lord Jesus. My heart is often broken. To proclaim liberty to the captives, oh, captive under sin, and the opening of the prison to those who are bound. To proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. And also one day, to proclaim the vengeance of our God. But He came to comfort all who mourn. Oh, how thankful I am for Him. In Matthew 12:28, we read that He casted out demons by the Spirit of God. Dominion over the spirit world. In John 3:34, we read that God did not give the Spirit of God to the Lord Jesus by measure like He does to us, but rather He had it in an unlimited way, and He spoke the words of God. In Luke 4:14-15, the Lord Jesus returns in the power of the Spirit to Galilee, and He teaches in their synagogues. He taught by the power of the Spirit of God. In Acts 1:2, through the Holy Spirit, He gave commandments to the apostles He had chosen. Acts 10:38, Peter proclaims to the Gentile Cornelius how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil. And in Luke 10:21, we read that Jesus rejoiced in the Spirit. The work that He did, the ministry that He did. You see, He became a human being. He laid aside His ability for that time to be seen in all of His glory. To do anything that He wanted to do. Yes, He could ask the Father to turn these stones into bread, but He didn't. He could have done it Himself, but He set it aside. He did that. To come that He might minister as the perfect human being for you and for me. That's why He did that for us. And these ministries were all done by the very Spirit of God, working in Him and working through Him in a miraculous, marvelous way. Never in any way did He stop being God. He was always God. He always will be God. Even on the cross, He was God. But He laid aside that outward manifestation of His glory. And that brings us to our fourth area. The Holy Spirit accomplished their earthly ministries. Now, Samson, we could go on to the end of his life, but we're not going to do that because we don't find the Holy Spirit of God mentioned there. But we do find here in chapter 15, beginning at the end of chapter 14, we find that Samson's wife was given to his companion, his best man, because Samson had gone home to his father. And we read the story there of how he came back and he found this out and he gets revenge by catching 300 foxes. Tying a torch between the tails of every two foxes. Wouldn't you like to have seen that happen? That must have been crazy. Can you imagine catching 300 foxes? That'd take you a little while. And then he's going to get them all, and he's going to somehow get them still enough. Not still enough. He's going to pick them up, get their tails, tie a torch between two, send them off out into the fields of the Philistines to burn their crops in an agricultural society, okay? If he comes and burns my crops, I'm okay, but I'm going down the food line. You know, I mean, it's all right. But you burn up their crops, you're burning up their livelihood. He did that. Well, they retaliated. They did to his former fiance what they had said they would do if she didn't tell him the riddle. And they burned her and her father and their family. So now Samson is angry. It sets him off. He comes out and there's a proverb that's used, a proverbial expression rather, that he slaughtered them hip and thigh. It was an overwhelming defeat. He came in and all of those who had been a part of killing his former fiance and her family, he killed them. It's a lot of death and bloodshed going on in this book. The Philistines came for him, and ultimately, as he went to dwell among the people of Judah again, the Philistines come against Judah, and those of Judah find out that Samson said, it's because of me. He said, you can turn me over to them, bind me with the cords, just don't kill me. And they say, hey, we won't do that. And then we read in verse 14 of chapter 15, the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon him. Again. Came mightily upon him. And the ropes that were on his arms became like flax that is burned with fire, and his bonds broke loose from his hands. He found a fresh jawbone from a donkey. There's a picture of one if you've never seen one outside of a donkey's mouth. A donkey's mouth. And he reached out his hand, took the fresh jawbone of a donkey, and killed 1,000 men with it. So he killed one lion, then he killed 30 men. Now he's killed 1,000 men by himself. It's like a serious Rambo moment for him, okay? I mean, he's going off on these guys. These people are oppressing the nation of Israel. They will not back off. They will not let the people of God go. Just like we find in the book of Exodus. When Egypt wouldn't let the people of God go, God gave opportunity, but they refused to turn from that. What about the Lord Jesus? I want you to look at a verse in Hebrews chapter 9 here. This will, as we get ready to wind up, Hebrews chapter 9. You know, the quartet sang this morning about the cleansing power of the blood of the Lord Jesus. Cleansing power of the blood of the Lord Jesus. Chapter 9 of the book of Hebrews. You know, the book of Hebrews, you could say, here's the summary of the book of Hebrews. Jesus is better. Okay? Three words. Jesus is better. Somebody asked you, what's the book of Hebrews about? Jesus is better. He's better than the angels. He's better than Joshua. He's better than Moses. He's better than Aaron. He's better than all the sacrifice. He's better than all the priests. He's better than all the high priest. And look what it says here in chapter 9 and verse 14 about the Lord Jesus. It's a question. He's comparing it to the animal sacrifice, particularly the blood of the bulls and goats and the ashes of a heifer. Notice verse 15. How much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, cleanse your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? The blood of Christ, the Lord Jesus, by the eternal Spirit. There are some commentators who believe this was the human spirit of the Lord Jesus. I believe it was the Holy Spirit. More than likely in your Bible that word spirit is capitalized, and if so, the translators believe it was the Holy Spirit of God. And it was through the Holy Spirit of God, declared here to be the eternal Spirit, that the Lord Jesus offered himself for your sins. That's right, for my sins. His blood was shed. Without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness. He shed His blood, His perfect holy blood. How was He described here? Without spot. Without spot. He never sinned. You think you're a pretty good person? Maybe you are. When's the last time you had a sin in your mind? He never had that. Never. A perfect mind as well as outwardly, inwardly, his heart was right. His motives were right. And the Lord Jesus shed his blood. He gave himself. Yes, Samson gave himself at the end of his life after his eyes had been put out because his hair had been cut off, the secret of his strength. And he told Delilah, and he goes in there and they call him out, and all the Philistines are on top of this big building and down underneath, and they bring him out to make fun of him, and his hair has grown back, and he pushes those columns out, and he kills more Philistines in his death than in his life. He died willingly, but his death was nothing like the Lord Jesus' death. No, Samson, after 40 years of the dominion of the Philistines, he judges Israel for 20 years, and in his death, he probably gives them more freedom than he did in his life, and the Lord Jesus did that, but not just for one nation. No, for everyone, for you and for me, he gave his blood to cleanse our consciences. Do you have trouble with your conscience? Does it need to be cleansed from dead works? Those may be dead bad works. They may be dead good works. Because if you're trying to work your way to heaven, if you're trying to make God embrace you because of your works, they're dead works, okay? No, it's all by grace. It's by grace. Well, let's just bring it home. Four quick takeaways. They're very easy because you've already heard them. But now they're about you. The Holy Spirit, who initiated Samson's ministry and the ministry of the Lord Jesus, initiates your earthly ministry. You see, you got to be born of the Spirit. And then the Spirit of God, He's the very one who leads the people of God. Having begun in the Spirit, are you now being made perfect by the flesh? Paul asked the Galatians in Galatians 3:3. The Holy Spirit of God guides your earthly ministry if you've received the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior. Romans 8:14, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. Galatians 5:18, but if you were led by the Spirit, you were not under the law. You see, the same Holy Spirit is wanting to guide your ministry and empowering your ministry. You see, the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each believer for the profit of the whole body of Christ. And the one and same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually as He wills. And then finally, the Holy Spirit accomplishes your earthly ministry. The Lord Jesus sent Him to teach you all things, to bring all things to your remembrance, to convict the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment, to guide you into all truth, to glorify the Lord Jesus through your life. That's why He came. God sent Him here. That's one of His ministries. He's got many ministries. I want you to see Samson this morning, but I want that to fade away, and I want you to see the Lord Jesus. I want you to apply it to your own life, but I really want you to see the Lord Jesus. See Him in His ministry for you. Now He's got a ministry in heaven. He's at the right hand of the Father, and He's here with us too. We're going to pray. I'm going to just close us quickly in prayer. We'll have just a quick part of a song, and we'll be dismissed. But I'd like for you to look at these takeaways and meditate, if you would, on the Lord Jesus and on the Holy Spirit's work in your life as we close. Father, thank You for our time together. Lord, I don't know if there's anybody here this morning that's never experienced the cleansing of the blood of the Lord Jesus. Lord, if someone is here, if more than one person, Lord, I pray that they'll be convicted of their sin, the sins of their minds and their hearts, well as their bodies, and they would cry out to You, Lord, forgive me, I have sinned against You. I believe the Lord Jesus, Your Son, died on the cross for my sin and rose again. I receive Him as my Savior. Lord, thank You that You will save. Father, I pray for each one of us who know You. Lord, we want to see the Lord Jesus. Lord, there's so much in this world. We want it to grow strangely dim. Lord, we're frustrated with this world, and it gets in the way of us seeing the Lord Jesus. Might we be in Your Word, and Father, might we allow Your Holy Spirit to do what He came to do, to glorify Your Son before our eyes. Father, help us not to do what's right in our own eyes. Help us to do what's right in Your eyes. Father, we pray that we'll see the Lord Jesus. We love Him because He first loved us. And we pray in His name. Amen.